Man, there's so much to talk about. I try to condense it into like 10, 15 minutes. But it's a lot to talk about. Now, I'm not here to argue whether Jacob Blake was right or wrong or whatever. My whole thing is anti-black racism and how we come to a solution to kind of solve that. But the white supremacists are showing out, man. Had a 17-year-old wannabe cop who joined this militia group, this white militia group, and gunned down a few protesters. Even had the main, I guess, the sheriff or the main, the chief, whoever's in charge of that part of Wisconsin, the cops, that's the main whoever cop, the super cop. He came out there and was kind of defending the suspected white supremacists, dude. And I'm like, I think that was a breaking point for a lot of, that was a breaking point. That was really a breaking point for a lot of the Milwaukee Bucks. And when they stood up, you know, that caused a bigger dialogue as to, you know, how do we solve this or what do we do? And to be honest, I mean, I kind of understand what the Bucks are saying, because they're like, look, I'm not about to be dribbling a basketball, slam dunking a hoop for these racist white folks, man. I'm a protest, so I'm gonna do whatever I gotta do. I'll even leave the bubble if it brings more attention to this problem. And you know, it's starting up a dialogue, but it's like a chicken or the egg. It's like, all right, if you leave the bubble, there's no season, so everything becomes canceled and it's back to the status quo. You have no platform to kind of bring people towards the subjects that you're talking about, you know, because once you're an athlete and you speak up or you say something after a game conference, that means ESPN, that means Fox Sports News, they have to talk about that, what you said, the following day, because it's related to sports. So you definitely have a bigger platform while you're playing basketball on that type of, you know, where you got all of these networks and you got all of these media people listening to your every word or watching everything that you do. But at the same time, you see your people out here getting purged and there's no kind of punishment for these crooked cops. And that's just the way it is, right? And they reluctantly arrested that 17-year-old. This was something that they did not want to do. They reluctantly arrested that 17-year-old. And what, I mean, what's going to happen? What does this really solve? Is the question. Because the basketball players started, they had like a little conversation around this. And Jaylen Brown, he's one of these guys that's like boots on the ground. He's like a guy that likes to show that he's on the front line with the protesters protesting against injustice. He's like, look, I'm a real protester. I just play basketball, but I'm a real activist. A lot of you guys ain't gonna want to go in the trenches and sit up here and get sprayed with mace or sprayed with rubber bullets. Or a lot of y'all don't want to go face to face with the monster. So, you know, to this is just some grandstanding for some of y'all. But this for me, this is for real, for real. And a lot of the NBA players are kind of having this dialogue. And I think the Lakers and the Clippers were the only two teams that was like, look, we just want out of the bubble. We want to end this season. And the rest of the teams are like, no, we don't want to end this season. There's a lot of frustration, mainly because these guys are away from their family, it's pretty much like prison. You're inside of a bubble. You can't order Postmates, or you can't order like different foods. It has to be approved. Everything has to be approved by the bubble. So you're pretty much in a situation where you got to follow all of these rules. You can't go nowhere. If you go somewhere, you're going to get criticized like Lou Williams. So you have to be very, very careful as far as everything you do, what you do. It's a snitch hotline. It's a lot of stress for those players because they're away from their families. And yeah, they're getting paid. They're probably not getting paid what they're used to getting paid. But there's a lot of things like, look, no fans. Every time you finish playing a game, you go online, and now you're seeing all this crap people talking about you. So it's not the easiest thing to be playing inside of a bubble where you're away from your friends and family. And I think it's a lot of frustration with that. And a lot of basketball players are trying to use this Jacob Blake situation to kind of say, hey, look, man, we need to just get out of this. We need to get out of this, and this is just a bad situation. This was a failed plan from the start. NBA owners, they want their money, and they're pretty much putting out threats like, look, you guys might be locked out. If we cancel this, there may be a lockout next season. There may be a lockout next season, and there will be financial ramifications if there's no basketball being played. So of course it's capitalism. You know, you're gonna have the owners applying pressure, but the players have ultimately they have the power to. They have the power because without the players, the game isn't the same. Especially if you had the Lakers and the Clippers leave, that's two of the biggest teams. That's the two big teams. Like I would say, one of the three biggest teams. Lakers, Clippers, and the Bucks. They figured that one of those three teams are going to win out of the bubble. But now that you have all of this going on, it's like, what do we do? You know? And to be honest, no amount of basketball being played or not played is not going to stop systematic racism. It's just not. It's not going to stop anti-black racism. These state sanctioned killings, it's going to continue to happen. It's been happening since the inception of America. It's the fabric of America. Racism is in the fabric of America. It's just the way it is. This is why you have so many Pan-Africans. Like, we need to separate. We need to separate from America. We need to get our own land. We need to do all of this other stuff because they know that America's never going to change. How many dead bodies needs to pile up before you snap out of this American dream that America is just this beautiful place for black people to live? That's the Pan-Africanist argument. And, you know, the problem is systematic white supremacy. It's anti-black racism. And whether you play basketball, whether you don't play basketball, it's still here. So my thing would be, you know, to the guys that's playing basketball, hey, look, you guys are doing a noble thing, maybe taking a game or two games. All right, now you got the world kind of noticing what's going on. Then you go back to playing basketball. In the meantime, you try to put a voice, hey, look, you know, Breonna Taylor's killers, blah, blah, blah. You know, you just keep whatever you can say about it while you have the platform. Because anything you do is going to be symbolic, whether you end the season, whether you wear a T-shirt, whatever you're going to do is symbolic. It's not going to end the system of white supremacy. You know, but at the same time, there are things you could do, you know, when you're on a large platform like the NBA, where you could bring attention, where you could call out, you know, after a game, you could call out the prosecutor of Louisville, Kentucky. You could say, hey, dude, You need to press charges. You can do that. But if you out, if you're not playing basketball, you know, the media is not covering anything you're doing. The noise is just not that loud. So, you know, my opinion is like, hey, look, you know, this is cool. You protest maybe one game, two games, and hell, even three games. But, you know, you get back to your job, you try to play basketball. That's what you get paid money to do. But you try to speak out against this systematic white supremacy pretty much as you can. There's nothing else you could do unless you're just going to, the NBA players are just going to have a, put together some kind of legal fund for unarmed black citizens, where I guess the owners kind of put in too. It'll be the owners and the basketball players. They set a legal fund specifically for black Americans who are getting unlawfully murdered. So now that, now when there's a murder, you have some kind of souped up legal team that's going to go after these cops. Not no Benjamin Crump, not that other guy, Sleazy Merritt. Right, some real lawyers, not no ambulance chasers, who are gonna try to get these race soldiers prosecuted. That's the only thing you can really much, pretty much do. But I believe the cops are protected. There's so many laws where they're protected because they're technically at their job, and it's like, well, because I'm at my job, I can't. They can't charge me. They have to charge the state, or they have to charge the city that I work for. So it largely becomes a civil case because I was on the job, and unless there was some kind of proof that it was premeditated, right? So it's pretty much hard to get these cops arrested, especially crooked cops. If anything, they just get fired, and as Nellie Fuller says, white supremacists don't get fired. They just get what they say, not promoted, but they just move around. They just go they go to different places. They get relocated. They don't get fired. They get relocated. And that's just how it is. But it's the way that the laws are set up in America. If you're a black person and you get murdered by a crooked cop, you're going to get a Benjamin Crump. You're going to get a Sleazy Merritt. These guys are going to try to say, hey, look, try to make this seem like it's not a racial thing. We're gonna go into it. We're just going to say that they need police training, and they need to be better trained as police. They need to stop doing this and all that. And you're going to say that, they probably cut you a check. Most of the check is going to go to Sleazy Merritt and what's this guy, Benjamin Crump. And you're pretty much, you know, your family going to be fighting over the crumbs while you laying in there, and there's no justice going to be done. The race soldier that killed you, he's probably going to be selling memorabilia, going around just, you know, joking around about it. I don't know. You know, it's really effed up. But you're in a situation where there's nothing you could really do. I respect it. I really do. I respect these NBA players for what they're doing, but it's nothing you could do. The way that the laws and everything are set up, it's set up for black people to just constantly be at the bottom of this caste system. And there's no voting that could get you out of that. It doesn't matter if you're voting for, what's his name? Joe Biden. Doesn't matter if you're voting for Trump. You know, the system is still going to be the system. That's why this whole thing, like, oh, we need to get out and vote, this is more reason to vote. It's like, no, this has been happening. It's been happening for a long, long time. And until we wake up and realize that, you see what I mean? until we wake up and we realize that, that's when we'll be in a better place. You got to realize that you got to realize what the problem is at first. And the problem isn't voting. Black people go out and vote in droves. The problem is anti-black racism. And I'm out.